T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ray, forget about the Steelers for a minute. My daughter's softball team, Mount Washington, trying to get to the title game, 14 and under. I think it's 14 and under. Maybe it's 15. I can't remember. We're playing McGuffey Monday night. I wasn't there, to be fair, and this isn't a statement on McGuffey, who wound up beating your daughter's team in the championship, I understand. Wonderful kids, good players at McGuffey, good players, wonderful kids, good coaches, and nice people as fans. I talked to a couple last night. It's not their fault that the umpires in that game against us, an 8-7 loss, called obstruction twice. Not once, but twice. And I was told about these plays in great detail, one of which, our shortstop had the ball long before a girl slid into the bag and simply tagged her. So I guess the obstruction was, if you put your glove in front of somebody's foot, that's obstruction, Ray? Huh?
Wow, I did not know about this controversy, Joe. This makes the entire playoffs are tainted.
Tainted.
I don't know if we can go on, though.
They may be tainted, Ray. What happened in the title game? Was it a close game? How'd your daughter do?
It was a close game, 6-3. I think Finley actually took a 2-0 lead, and then McGuffey chipped away. And
any obstruction calls?
No obstruction calls. A pretty clean game. So from that perspective, the umps didn't have to get involved, and that's always good.
Obstruction. I'll never get over that one, Ray. Twice. What do they think? We practice obstruction plays at Mount Washington? This is an outrage. Would you agree?
I would agree. And it was great they made it to the championship game, Joe, but 40-minute drives for me every day to Washington, PA this week. I got to admit, I'm kind of glad it's over.
I like those fields out at Twist. And
Yeah, they are nice. They are nice.
Man, did we want to win that. But we were obstructed, I guess you could say, Ray. All right, not that I'm bitter at all. Let's get to the Steelers. And let's talk about the quarterback situation. I wrote about it this week. There's all these Kenny Pickett comparisons. There's Crowley has walked into the studio, the one West Virginia fan in Western Pennsylvania. Maddie, can you ask him for an opinion on where West Virginia, if West Virginia winds up in the third wheel division, the also-ran division, the leftover league? Crowley, what do you think's going to happen? I'm sorry, Ray. I just saw Crowley.
It's going to be bad. I don't think they've got a home.
Maybe them and Pitt can form their own conference. We'll call it just that, the also-rans.
Play 9 times a year.
Yes, that would be incredible. Ray, why don't you talk about this? You were a Pitt writer for a long time. What do you make of the blow-up here in college football, which is going to bleed into college basketball? Do you think Pitt's going to have a place at the table?
You know, Joe, I don't long for the days when I covered Pitt, because a lot of the stuff happened when I was covering them, you know, the move to the ACC, the breakup of the Big East, all that stuff. I long for the days when I was a kid and Pitt, Penn State, and West Virginia played every single year almost. All those teams played Maryland. It was so much more simpler then. And I don't want to tell you I don't follow college sports now, but I really do pay less attention to it because I think it's become big business. And I know it's naive of me to think that it wasn't big business back then, because obviously it still was, but things were so much simpler when you just played your geographic rivals. And I know we're never going to go back to it, but to me, that's when college football was the best.
I know, but it's so far gone. Do you think Pitt's going to have a place here at the table? Do you think they will? In football?
Yeah, I mean, eventually, I mean, look, it's going to be the SEC and the Big Ten. I think it's obvious that's the way it's going. I mean, I think there's going to be a place for Pitt, but, you know, kind of like it is now, no one looks at the ACC as one of the premier conferences, right? I mean, it's kind of like the third or fourth. And now I think it's going to be 1-2 SEC, Big Ten, and then everyone else is, you know, going to be scrambling for a seat at another conference. I mean, it's kind of sad, but it's college athletics in 2022. It's not big business. It's a billion-dollar business, Joe, and that's not going to change anytime soon.
I'm kind of glad I wasn't at the softball game Monday night, Ray. I think I might have pulled a Mike McCarthy. Did you ever see the video of him yelling at the ref after a youth league game? I think it was a basketball game. It's a bad look, right?
Mike McCarthy from Greenfield?
From Greenfield, yes.
Really? I don't think I ever saw that. I do remember.
No, I mean, it was Mike McCarthy like 2 years ago. Mike McCarthy is from Greenfield, yes, but this was him as Packers coach yelling at somebody, a ref at a youth league game.
I don't remember that, but I do remember John Gruden got in trouble at a midget league football game for yelling at referees too. So it happens to the best of us, Joe. You would not be in rare company.
I know, but you know those phones are out. And I would have run onto the field. If that guy wanted on the second obstruction call, I would have been running on the field and I would have been in that guy's face. You coach youth baseball, correct? Have you ever had a flare up with an ump?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And now, you know, we're to the point now we're in 11U and you're signing the cards after the game, and there's a place on all those cards that if you get ejected, you have to sign on that dotted line. And we recently went to the Ripken Experience, and they will actually, if a player or a coach gets ejected from a game, your team's name goes on a board that's front and center at the Ripken Experience. So they definitely try to embarrass you and make sure that type of behavior doesn't happen.
Do they have a board for umps who make two obstruction calls in the same game? I wonder.
They very well might, but that's probably a smaller type of board.
And to be fair, all the umpires I know, just about all of them, are good guys and very good at what they do. This guy, apparently, they hadn't seen before. I don't know, Ray. It's just, have you ever had a big blow up with an umpire in a youth league game? I haven't.
Shamefully, yes, I have. But,
tell me about it. What happened? I want to know all the details because you're not that type of guy generally. What happened?
Well, there's two, but I'll give you the one. There was a tournament down in Beaver Falls, and my kid was still playing 9U, or it might have been 10U, and the umpire was so bad. And you really watch pitch counts at that age. I mean, you watch pitch counts at every age. But my kid, instead of throwing 30 pitches, ended up having to stay in an inning and throw like 60 pitches. And I just kind of blew up at the guy afterward because he was squeezing my kid with an extra tight strike zone. So I got thrown out, but then I got reinstated because I think our head coach kind of talked to the ump and found a way for me to get back in, I think. So
were there any swear words said?
There might again, but I promise they were out of the earshot of our kids.
What do you think of this, Folsy? The mild-mannered Ray Fittipaldo.
I can't see Ray.
Going Earl Weaver here.
I know. I can't see Ray getting thrown out of a sporting event. That is, I'm having a hard time picturing that.
This is incredible. I don't even want to talk Steelers at this point, but we
have to. It wasn't as bad as Earl Weaver, where that famous clip. You know that clip, Joe, right, where he comes out at Memorial Stadium. It's one of the best umpire manager blow-ups in history.
Yes.
Yeah, but not as bad as that, I could promise you.
We just passed the anniversary of Lloyd McClendon stealing first base. You should have ripped the pitching rubber out of the ground, Ray, and walked
should've.
Off the field with it.
Oh, in baseball now, you can't rip it out. You just have to pick up that big portable mound and throw that. So
is that what they use these days, a portable mound, huh? They just bring their
so
own?
Bad. Well, yeah, I mean,
BYOM?
Yeah, there's some tournaments where they actually have the old-fashioned dirt mounds, but most of these places are softball, baseball compatible, so you got to use the portable mounds.
Should I call the league to complain about these obstruction calls, Ray? Somebody must have it on video, too. Should I?
Yeah, make sure the conversation isn't taped, though, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I may do that later today. In the meantime, everybody's making Kenny Pickett, Joe Burrow comparisons. I had a guy on the other day who trains Pickett, Tony Rasiopi, works at the Manning camp, one of only four coaches in the country that the Mannings allow to work with their quarterbacks. He worked there with Burrow twice over 4 days, got to know Burrow very well, and he says it's a legit comparison between these guys. Yeah, I mean, there's some obvious comparisons from the tiny hands to the one great year in college to, you know, all of that. Is this a legitimate comparison in your opinion?
Joe, that's so tough. I mean, you didn't mention that they're both very, very confident guys, and the players on their teams gravitate towards them. At least that's been the experience with Pickett at Pitt. Obviously, we'll see if he has that type of leadership and that type of swag in the NFL. But, in that way, I think he is comparable to a guy like Joe Burrow. But there's so much that goes into this, Joe. I mean, you got to build the team around him. I mean, the Bengals drafted so high in the draft for so many years that they were able to have a team when he arrived that was ready to win. And, you know, the Steelers are sort of in that position on defense. I don't know that they're quite there right now with the pieces on offense. So that's what I mean. I mean, we can sit back and make these comparisons, but I don't think it's an apples-to-apples conversation when it comes to the situation that Joe Burrow is stepping into in the NFL compared to the one that Kenny Pickett is about to step into. So, I think they're valid in some respects, but, I think there are two different scenarios, certainly, on how this could play out.
This is a question Falsey and I have been batting around this week. Who's the Steelers' future number one receiver? Let's say 2024. Who's their number one guy?
I would have to say George Pickens at this point, because I don't think Deontay Johnson is going to be around beyond this next season. And I'm sorry, Chase Claypool has all the ability in the world, but I don't get excited about thinking about his future after what I witnessed last year. So, I haven't really seen anything from Pickens yet other than, 10 or 12 practices in the spring, but based on his talent level, what we've heard from Steelers teammates and, guys who coached him in college and played with him in college, the talent is there that he could certainly step up at some point and be a number one receiver in this league. And obviously that would be for the Steelers if Johnson and Claypool are not around.
I feel remiss not including Falsey in this conversation, Ray. He seems to be wanting to pipe up with a question. Falsey, please, the floor is yours.
You thought I was going to pipe
it
up for a question?
It seemed that way. Was
okay.
I wrong?
Hey. No, absolutely. We had Mark Gabali on the other day, and I've heard this not only from him but from other people, this idea or this likelihood that Mason Rudolph could go into the season as the primary backup to Mitch Trubisky, landing Kenny Pickett third in that quarterback rotation or on that roster, on that depth chart to start the year. Do you see that playing out that way, Ray?
To start the year, like in week one, possibly, small possibility, but guys, it's not going to be that way for very long. I mean, I actually think Pickett, with a good preseason, could assume that role late in training camp, late August, right before the season begins, and I think that's where we could see some trade activity with Mason. But in the small scenario that you're talking about, yeah, I suppose it could happen, for that week one game against Cincinnati, but it's not going to happen for very long. I mean, they drafted Kenny Pickett for a reason. He's the number one pick in 2022, and he's going to be in a backup role or for a little while. But I don't think it's going to be for very long. I think he'll be the backup early this season, and likely, depending on how things go, he'll get a chance to be a starter for this team. If things don't go well for Mitch Trubisky.
Ray, do you see the Steelers making any more signings of free agents by the time that this season rolls around?
Not by the time training camp rolls around, but, you know, it's not unusual for the Steelers to make a couple of moves during camp, and I know that wouldn't necessarily have to be free agents. I mean, I think once you get into camp, it's more likely that you're trading for guys. But, yeah, I don't think this roster, as we sit here on July 1st, is going to be the roster that they go into the season with. You know, there's a question about your backup running back. I think there's still a chance that you could upgrade an outside linebacker behind Alex Highsmith and T.J. Watt. So, yeah, there are a couple of places where they could improve. But, I mean, if you look at the available unrestricted free agents out there, I think more than likely the two things that are going to happen. Number one, a trade in August or early September sometime where you shore up those positions, or you just look at the waiver wire early September after everyone makes final cutdowns, and then maybe you add a better piece at that point.
Ray, we have to finish with free association. I believe you're contractually obligated to do that. Are you not?
I am, yes.
You ready?
I am ready.
Who calls the majority of the defensive signals as far as coaches go this season?
I'm going to say it's going to continue to be Mike Tomlin.
Kenny Pickett saw guy Josh Edwards from CBS Sports say he will make his first start after the bye against the Saints. If you had to pick which week, if any, Pickett will start, which would it be?
That's a good call. I'll go with that against the Saints.
Who's going to lead the team in touchdown catches?
Deontay Johnson.
Interceptions.
Minka.
Which veteran has his starting spot at risk right now? Who's at risk of losing a job in camp? Anybody?
Well, I mean, I go back to left guard, and I know that Kevin Dotson isn't an established starter, but he is a starter. There's a chance that Kendrick Green could wrestle that away from him. That's really the only starting job other than the quarterback that I see out there, so I'll go with left guard.
Who's the second leading sacker on the team behind T.J. Watt?
Cam Hayward.
Alex Highsmith, over under 9.5 sacks. Ray? What happened to Ray? Weren't you waiting with bated breath for that answer?
Yeah, I thought he was.
I truly was.
I thought he was pondering it deeply.
So did I. Ray, are you still there? Ray!
We lost Ray.
Folsey, would you like to finish off for Ray?
What was the question? 10.5 sacks?
9.5 for
nine
Alex
and a half?
Highsmith.
Just under 9.
No need for the just.
Okay.
And you could have just said under. Those are the rules of the game to keep it
moving.
How many other playoff teams in the AFC? Wait, who's going to win the AFC North?
Bengals.
How many other playoff teams from the division?
3 total playoff teams from the division.
Holy bird milk. Who are the other two?
Ravens. Steelers.
And finally, how long is Deshaun Watson's suspension?
17 games.
Wow. All right, let's talk about that next. Let's talk about developments in this case and where are we headed for a full season suspension for some legal drama, I guess you could call it, or suspension-related drama. Obstruction on a tag play at second base. You ever heard of that, Maddie?
No, not in softball. What is it, 14-year-old
not
softball?
Not one, two. Two obstruction calls from a 14U softball game, one of which the obstruction material appeared to be our shortstop's glove.
Is this ump trying to get into the majors someday?
I don't know what this ump was trying to do.
I think there's some nefarious things happening.
I've never heard of that before in my entire life, and I'm glad I wasn't there to witness it. I keep a very low profile as far as umps go because most of them are good. Like I said, they're almost all really good, and everybody's going to miss a call. But that's not missing a call. That's stepping in and helping to decide a game with a B obstruction? They didn't even call that in the majors.
Did you get in his face?
I wasn't there.
Oh.
But if I was, I'm glad I wasn't. Let's just put it that way. I'm glad
I wasn't. Because
you don't
know what you would have done.
Yes. I don't know what I would have done. I snapped at our softball practice last night for the first time ever.
What do you mean by snapped?
I didn't like something that was happening. So I was over amongst the group of parents. They all got to snap at least once. So I took my turn. I snapped. Just flew
what
out.
What did you say?
As they say. I don't want to say.
Okay.
I just,
all right.
It was a critique of what was happening. And I snapped. And in fact, there were two people there from McGuffey. We have a girl from McGuffey now who's playing with us this weekend. Wonderful kid. And her sister who plays for St. Vincent. And her mom was there. So they saw me snap. That's their first impression of me, and I'm not that way.
Was the snap well received generally? Like, did you
silent.
Get looks?
Silence.
Silent.
Yeah.
It was like, what's
no,
this
no,
guy?
One lady backed me up, my friend Colleen.
Okay.
She jumped in and backed me up. And then I ranted for a minute, and then I turned to the new people, and I said, I apologize for my angry outburst. That was it. Everybody else gets one, Maddie. I haven't done one in 2 years. I get my turn, right? Yeah.
As long as you don't make it a habit.
I told the coach.
As long as you don't become that guy.
I know. No, I don't. And I realized that. And then I went and told the coach. I said, you're probably going to hear I had an angry outburst. I apologize. And that was that. I owned it, Maddie.
And as you should.
Yes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.